So the question is, how is our faith making a difference? And let me just go to Ecclesiastes 12, and it says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep His commandments, this is the whole duty of man. That's all we're here to do, is to honor Him. And it says in verse 14, God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. So the things that we do, are they making a difference? Is our faith making a difference? You say, well, my faith made a difference. I'm not going to hell. That's great. I'm going to heaven. That's wonderful. I mean, that's fantastic. And if there was nothing else to it, and that's all it was about, was just giving me life eternal with God and not being separated into a place of eternal darkness and fire, then that would be good. That would be great. But there's more to it. There's more to life than dying, right? And some people never learn to live. And some people never appreciate what it is we have. You know, not just the blessings of God, not just the goodness of the experience, but also about what's after this, about eternity. I listened to an atheist today, a recording of an atheist today, and as I listened to him, I thought, you know, the thing is he believes there's a God, just in the things that he's saying. And what he's doing in his words is he's trying to provoke God. He's trying to stick his finger and poke God in the eye. You can tell there's so much rage and so much anger against a God that he says he doesn't believe in, but he does. You can tell by the emotions in his statement that he believes. He's just anti-God. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, across the page there, it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if I know to do good, if I know to do the right thing, if I know to be a blessing, if I know to make a difference and I don't, then my not doing it is sin. That's what we call sins of what? Omission. Sins of omission. I've omitted it. I've taken it out. By not doing the right thing, by not doing good deeds, by not being a blessing, I have committed a sin. And we can't just get saved and live selfishly and expect that God's pleased with that. He's not. And the Bible tells us He's not. So the question tonight is our faith making a difference? Is our faith changing us? Because in order for it to make a difference, it's got to change us. Salvation is immediate. When you prayed, if you haven't, you can now, but when you realized you were a sinner in need of God, and you prayed, reaching out to God and said, God, I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross to forgive my sins, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, and God, I'm giving myself to you, you got saved. And your name was written in the book of life and can never be removed. As soon as you did that. And so you're saved forever. Immediately. It's not one of those three-day processes. How many of you ever had buyer's remorse? Anybody ever had buyer's remorse? And you went and you called the car dealership back and you said, I don't want this car. And they said, that's too bad. You signed the contract.
Ooh. Don't even go there.
Nah, better not say. Marriage remorse never. It reminds me of that guy that said, I've told you this before, but he noticed, he said the guy was wearing his wedding ring on his right hand. He said, you're wearing your wedding ring on the wrong hand. He said, I married the wrong woman. Anyway, that's rough. But we have sometimes, don't ever try to use that, she'll get you. She's going to get you. Sometimes we have buyer's remorse, but you know about getting saved, there's no buyer's remorse. There's no taking it back. I've never met anybody that said, I'm sorry I ever trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've never met anybody that wanted to take it back. Now, there have been some who grew up in church, and I'm sorry that there are churches out there that give people the wrong impression of God. They do. I'm sorry that's the case. I'm sorry that people grow up in churches learning God in the wrong way, learning the wrong ideas about God and the wrong way to serve God and the wrong things that God expects. They do. They learn it wrong because they're taught it wrong, and I'm sorry that's the case. And I don't ever want to do that. But when we got saved, we cannot get unsaved. It's done. It's settled forever for eternity. Now, with that in mind, transformation is a systematic process. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, what does it say? But be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that transformation is a process. And just like that conformation, you take ice. How many of you have ice trays still at home? Or ever had Jell-O trays? You pour the Jell-O in there and it makes the shape of a shell. Or you make ice tray, you pour the water in there, and that water takes the form of its container. That's what liquid does. And so we, just as it takes a form, we are being transformed. We're being changed from what we are to something that we didn't used to be. But we do that by the renewing, by a process, a systematic process called faith. Systematic faith. So, believing we are saved, but then this faith that James talks about here is a practiced faith. In verse 14, he says, what does it profit? So we're talking about benefits. My brethren, though a man say he has faith, words, and have not works, can faith save him? Now, some people will read that and say, well, James is teaching that you earn your salvation. You earn being saved, but that's not what he's saying. And you read all of what James wrote here and you comprehend that he's not saying that. But what he's saying is, there's an expression on the outside. See, my soul is saved. But what do people see about me? What profit, what benefit is my salvation? Somebody, I've done funerals and I've had loved ones. I could say that the friend I had to bury in Bainbridge, my grandfather, my uncle, there are all these people that I could list and others that we've talked about here. And nobody knew they were saved. And then finally, at the graveyard, at the cemetery, somebody came forward and said, well, I just want you to know that when he was a boy, he got saved and he got baptized and he went to Sunday school and all this stuff that happened when he was a kid. But at some point in his life, he just quit. And for my uncle, it was because he had gotten involved with a woman. As a man, he had gotten involved, and his mother said no. And his mother represented, that's not the kind of woman you need to be running around with, son. And you need to be a church man, and you need to be a God man, and you need to be a Christian. And he said, no, I want her. Just like Samson did, by the way. We have biblical precedent for this. And you know what he did? He decided that he wanted that woman instead of the church. And over and over I hear stories of like this when I talk to people. So people do walk away from the faith, but they're still saved. They walk away from the systematic, the faith system that we practice and that the Bible teaches. But here we're talking about making a difference, the benefits. Because I'll tell you something, and I've said it before, if you live by the principles of the Word of God, you will have a better life even if you're not born again. And you'll die and go to hell because you can't earn your salvation. But it will help you just to live by it. And that's what we're talking about, benefits, profit. But if you get saved and don't apply it, it won't help you in this life. It won't save you in this life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? People won't look at you and say, now that's a Christian. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but people won't be able to say, his life changed by it. I want my life to change. Don't you want your life to change?
Amen.
That's what faith is. That's what And the salvation process is saving our soul, but the application of systematic faith is what changes our lives. It's what saves our lives. I bet we could go around and ask testimonies of people who knew people who got saved when they were children or got saved when they were young adults, but then they got involved in drugs or alcohol or some wild living, and their life was destroyed. I could take you right now, show you people. Now you tell me, did their faith save them from all that stuff? It didn't. It did not deliver them. Application is what delivers us. Not from hell, but from the hell on earth. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Verse 15. So, is it making a difference? Is it changing my life? And verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So you say to them, oh, be warm, but you don't give them a coat. You say, well, be full, but you don't give them food. Now, did you help anything? No. You had words. You blessed them by words, but you didn't bless them with material. Did you help them? Did you profit them? And the answer is no. And so what God is saying is that I can give you this promise of eternal life, but what you need in your life is the material, and here's the material. Apply it. Put it into work and into action in your life. Just as God helps us through the Word, now we can help others. Our faith can help other people. Brother Andy mentioned a coach that passed and all the people that he had impacted. And how many of us could look back on a teacher or a coach or Sunday school or youth pastor or pastor somewhere back down the road and, man, they really helped us. Yeah. And that's what we need to do. We need to be making a difference. You know, the cross points up because we're supposed to have a relationship with God, and it points out because we're supposed to make an impact on people. Faith, verse 17, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Dead faith. So dead faith is this. It did something, but now it's dead. It accomplished something. When you got saved, you got saved. And so you had enough faith to get saved. So your faith worked, but then it died because you didn't do anything with it. Do you still believe? Yes. Are you still going to heaven? Yes. Is it making a difference in your life? Not if you don't do anything with it. We've got to do something with it. We've got to exercise it. We've got to practice it. We've got to show the heart of God to people. We've got to let others see the benefit of God in us so that they will long for that benefit in themselves. And they'll say, I want what you got. What is it? And we can say it's Jesus. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He gave me hope. He gave me love. He gave me forgiveness. My life is better because of what Jesus did. And they can see it. What if we walk around mully grub? What's wrong with you? I'm saved. I got Jesus. Oh, I don't want what you got. I was at the bank today, and there was a woman there. I was standing next to a fella, and I said, she doesn't look like she feels good. Talking about the bank teller. I don't know if she is sick or if that's how she looks all the time, but she didn't look like she felt well. I tell you what, I hope she's sick. That's all I can say. I hope she didn't feel well. Because if that's the way she looks every day, something's got to change. You know, it's important to me. We got to have a good face up front. Director of hospitality, director of greetings. I can't remember what they called it, but this position out front, we could usher, head usher, or doorman, or whatever you call it. And I tell you, we just can't match Brother Ed, can we? He was fantastic at that job. I tell you, everybody misses Brother Ed. But that's what we need, is somebody who is the director of greetings. Director of first impressions. That's what it was. And boy, when they come in the door, hey, how you doing? Glad you're here. You know, but if we just hand them a bulletin, you know, well, we've got to do more. We've got to really project ourselves and make a difference. And that's important. So I don't know which one of y'all wants to do that Sunday, but I'm looking forward to it. But we need to have that first impression. Really make a difference. When you have a receptionist and you say, well, what's her job? Her job is to answer the phone. No, her job is to make a good impression. People walk in the door and say, this is what the company's all about. And I want to be part of it. So, dead faith is not doing anything now, but don't think it didn't do anything when you got saved. It did all it needed to do then. But there was more to it. So don't let your faith die. Verse 18, how can we show our faith? He said, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. How can you show me you believe? Not by saying it. That's words. That's word. Words are not demonstration. That's just words. We need demonstration of faith. We need to actually see. So show me by my works. Verse 19, thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I'll tell you something I wrote in my notes here. I put, well, you believe in God? Well, God is obvious. Man, have you looked around? God is, man, have you seen the northern lights? Have you seen the way the solar system works? We talked about creation on Sunday night. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I mean, look at what He accomplished in 1 week. And you see all this and how He started with the stuff in the water. And then He moved up and He made stuff with legs. And on the day He made stuff with water, He made stuff with wings. And, you know, people say, well, I don't believe in God. But all of these people stand around watching a video of an eagle hatching an egg. Right. Mm-hmm. But they don't believe in God. Come on, God is obvious. That's right. You can count the corn on a corn cob system. Count the roses on a rose petal, the petals on a rose system. Count the stars in the sky. There's a system. Look at the seasons and the tides. There's a system. God made a system. I thought about taking a puzzle and just dumping it on the altar table, and we'll just leave it there till it puts itself together. Just to compliment the evolutionists, you know, just so they'll have a place. And they'll say, "What's that for?" Well, that's in case you believe in evolution. And one of these days, we're just expecting to hear a loud explosion and the puzzle just puts itself together. No, that's idiocy. God is obvious. And so He says, oh, well, you believe? Duh. The devil believes. Verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? By works was faith made perfect. So it was his faith. It used that word wrought in there again. And so it was his faith that made him, that fashioned his works. Our faith will fashion the demonstration of our works. We can tell what people believe by what they do. That's what that says. And so you say you believe, well then I can look at what you're doing and I can tell if you believe. It's, nah, I won't go there.
Come on.
It's hard. Is your faith making an impact? Are we letting God live through us and touch lives through us? Is my life an effective message of God? I remember working next to a girl, and I was down in Orlando, and we were on the line in the restaurant, and I was just training her and working with her just one day. And you know, by the end of that shift, I looked at her and I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? She said, yeah, how'd you know? All we've been doing is making sandwiches. We weren't talking about Jesus or anything, but you can tell. You can tell a believer by their composure, by their conversation. Yes, she's a believer. And by the way, she's a great believer. Verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. Faith should fashion our lives, completing our faith. So we don't just go to heaven, which is a marvelous thing. but we also experience heaven on earth. You remember we read, and it said that God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. We have a taste of heaven as we are now. Where we are now, a taste, a presence of heaven in us. But it's our works that completes our faith, our demonstration of faith. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers. What did that do? It made her life better. What did that do? It made Abraham's life better. We sung the song tonight intentionally, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Yes, you're going to heaven as a born-again believer. You're going to heaven because you've trusted God. You've trusted His mercy and His grace. But make your life better here by practicing what He teaches. Verse 26, For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see, it's the works. You don't know why people get backslid. You want to know why people lose that fire in their soul to live for God and to pray and to study their Bible? Because they quit working. I mean, you try it. Don't try it. But just think about it. You try laying out of church one Sunday. You know how easy it is to lay out of church the next Sunday? You lay out Sunday morning. You don't know how easy it is to lay out Sunday night? You lay off Wednesday night and say, well, it won't be a big deal. You know, that Wednesday night, it may not be... Sister Carolyn always used to say, you know, she'd say, that was a Sunday morning message. And I say, well, is it supposed to be toned down a little bit for Wednesday night or something? I mean, it's a different experience. It's a different environment. It's just different on Wednesday nights. But I'll tell you something. Wednesday night is important. And our faithfulness, it matters. You see, in New York, in the crime fighting, there was this idea called a broken window theory. How many have heard of the broken window theory? The idea was this. If we allow a building to have a broken window, that one single broken window is going to attract vandalism. It's going to attract tagging, you know, graffiti and stuff like that. And that's going to attract the prostitution and the robberies and the muggings and all that kind of stuff. You say, really? Well, I'll tell you what they did. They cleaned it up. And if somebody had a broken window, they made them fix it. And you know what they did? They cleaned up the neighborhood. And if you got a single broken window, they said, get that thing fixed. Because when we let the little things slide, then it's easier to just overlook the bigger things as they grow. And so we've got to bring ourselves into a matter of discipline, discipleship, and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read my Bible. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to help somebody. And I'm going to be nice. I know it's hard sometimes. But I'm going to be a Christian. And I'm going to demonstrate that I know my Redeemer lives. I'm going to demonstrate that I know there's a God and I believe in the Word of God and I believe in heaven and I'm going. And no matter what happens in this life, I know where I'm going.
Amen.
And so I'm not going to worry and I'm not going to fret and I'm not going to get angry over little things. I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just not going to get angry about it. And I'm going to just be what God wants me to be. It's important. But when we stop living, when we stop doing, when we stop working, we start backsliding. I was with somebody today. He said, how you doing? I said, staying busy. He said, man, in your line of work, that's not a good thing. I said, yes, it is. Well, in his mind, you know what preachers do? Funerals. And in his mind, you know, I mean, he obviously doesn't go to church very much, right? But preachers have to stay busy. Because if preachers don't stay busy, they get lazy. And it shows. It shows on them and it shows around them. Preachers have to stay busy. And they have to stay busy doing the right thing. So we can't allow ourselves to get lazy. Whether pastor, preacher, or any of us as Christians, we've got to stay after it. Reaching out and making a difference. Let's stand.